Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. One of the principal points in the doctrine of Christ is that of confession. Now, this lesson is designed to teach what the New Testament teaches on this subject. What is a confession? Well, of course, it's an act of confessing. It is to admit, to acknowledge, to avow, to grant something to be true. It may be a confession of a condition, or a fact, or a crime, or some reality. But it is to settle the matter, to say, this is true, and this is what I believe. That's what a confession is. Now, the New Testament teaches confession in at least two senses as it pertains to the faith authored by Christ. One is a confession or an acknowledgement concerning Christ. The other is the confession and admission of sin. Now, confessing Christ is essential to our salvation. Jesus said, "Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God." But he went on to say, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven." The first passage from Luke and the other from Matthew. Now who is to be confessed? It is Christ. What is it about Christ that we are to confess? We must confess that he is the Son of God. The whole system of Christ stands or falls, dear friend, on that point. When Jesus asked his disciples who they thought him to be, Peter answered, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," Matthew 16:16. And Jesus explained that it was upon that rock, that confession, that truth, that he would build his church. And Paul added in 1 Corinthians 3:11, "For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Take note of the consequences of confessing and the refusal to confess. One means being acknowledged by the Son of God before the Father. The other will result in being denied as belonging to the saved when we stand before the Father. Have you properly considered the value of making the confession concerning Christ? Paul wrote, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Romans 10:9-10. We have an example of one confessing his faith in Christ in Acts chapter 8. Philip had preached Jesus to the Ethiopian, and the Ethiopian asked, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And upon that confession, Philip baptized him. Like faith and repentance, confession of Christ precedes baptism. While confession is essential to salvation, the Bible does not give us any specific manner in which this confession must be worded. There is no formal procedure to be followed. But the acknowledgement of Christ, the admission of one's conviction that he is the Son of God, is a part of God's plan for saving man from sin. We read of others who refused to confess Christ, as well as some who did confess him. God confessed him at his baptism and at the Mount of Transfiguration when he said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." John the Baptist said of him, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world," John 1:29. Again in John 1:34, "And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." Now we've already noted the confession by Peter in Matthew 16. Martha confessed her faith in John 11:27. She said, "I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world." And John wrote, "Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God." 1 John 4:15. Well, there are several other instances of the confession of Christ. And even though this confession is essential, it is not all sufficient. People can give lip service to Christ, Matthew 15:8, Confession without other obedience is like saying, Lord, Lord, but failing to do the will of the Father, as is required in Matthew 7:21. To say we have fellowship with Him but walk in darkness is to sin. It is to make ourselves liars, 1 John 1:6, 2, 4. The way of salvation is not confession only, any more than faith only, or grace only, or baptism only, or anything else only. When we confess Christ, we're admitting many things. We acknowledge Him as God's Son. We acknowledge His deity. We acknowledge He is Savior. We acknowledge His authority and His gospel as the truth. We admit that we are sinners and in need of salvation. We concur with what the Scripture reveals concerning Him, about His miracles, His words, His life and death and burial and resurrection, His ascension, His promised return, and the judgment. When one truly believes that Jesus is the Son of God, he will readily accept all that the Bible teaches concerning Him. In one sense, our confession is not just a one-time matter prior to baptism. In the manner of life that we live, therefore, we acknowledge Christ and that He is our Lord and our Savior. When we are tempted and resist temptation, we are confessing Christ. When we are tried and hold fast to that which is right, we are acknowledging Him. When pressured to do evil but remain loyal, again we show our faith in Him. When opportunity to do good is afforded us and we seize it and we do what is good, we are saying to all, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Observing the Lord's Supper is a proclamation of Christ, an admission of our faith concerning Him and what He did on our behalf. All would not confess Christ while He was here on earth. Even some who believed on Him would not, John 12:42. All would not confess Him now. And John wrote, Who is a liar? But he that denieth Jesus is the Christ, he is Antichrist, that denieth the Father and the Son. Again John wrote, For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an Antichrist. People sometimes meet opposition to their confession. The blind man did in John chapter 9. Parents, family, many others may well oppose your statement and the life of allegiance to Christ. But like the blind man who was healed, we must let nothing keep us from confessing Him. Now there is a second confession of the religion of Christ that is a confession of one who has already become a Christian, but who sins again. That a Christian can sin, and that he does sin, may even so sin as to be disinherited, is plainly taught in Scripture. John wrote, If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. 1 John 1:8-10. Now Christians are taught to confess their sins. James 5:16. This is one of the conditions of forgiveness. John wrote, If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Christians, like the prodigal son of Luke chapter 15, can say, I have sinned. We need to confess to our Heavenly Father our sins just as the prodigal did to his father. The teaching of confession sins by Christians is not a doctrine of bearing all to all. There is nothing that authorizes the doctrine that we are to reveal to anyone, just whosoever, wheresoever, whenever, every thought, deed, and word of our lives. Rather, this is an action being the confession taught in the New Testament. It is rather a mind-controlling, intimidating, power-grabbing manipulation of some who would try to get people to confess every thought and everything about their lives to others. There is neither such a thing as a confessor father to whom we make our confessions or the requirement to bear our total souls to everybody round about. When we sin, we must confess our sins to God, because all sin is against God. When our sins involve others, to the extent that it does involve others, to that extent that our sin is known and brings harm on the Lord's body and His truth, to that extent it should be acknowledged. We need for others to forgive us of our sins when we have sinned against them. And how can they forgive us of our sins if they are not aware of our penitent spirit concerning our sins? However, when one is neither knowledgeable or involved regarding our sin, he is not privileged to receive confession of it. Too many times throughout religious history, there have been those who have exercised a cultish control over others through the demands of confession. But Christ is our high priest, and it is through him that we approach God, not some man, not some prayer partner who sets himself up to pass judgment on our confession and exploit our souls. It is well to add, however, that one cannot openly, publicly sin and then expect to cover it all up in a corner. This is unreasonable, as sinning in a corner and trying to cover it up openly before all others who are not even aware or involved. Friend, if your sin involves others, include those others that it involves. If it is a matter between you and God, then settle it between you and God. This confession of Christians is not simply saying, "If I have sinned." That does not really admit anything, does it? Except possibly the willingness to repent. Now, that attitude is good as far as it goes, but it really doesn't go far enough. We're not merely commanded to confess as willingness to repent. We're taught to confess our sins. Nor is it a confession that simply says, "I want to do better." Now, if that was what the confession of sins is, then everybody ought to be making public confession all the time, every time, because who among us should not want to do better? Again, the confession the Bible teaches is a confession, an admission of sins, and upon that confession we as Christians have the privilege of prayer to ask God's forgiveness. This is what Peter taught Simon in Acts chapter 8. If you are not in Christ, you must confess Christ. That's a step in your response to the call of the gospel, prior to being baptized for the remission of sins. If you are a Christian, and you have so sinned as to call for a public confession, then do not delay to confess your sins before all. If you have sinned before God, and He alone is aware of it, confess it to Him and ask Him to forgive. This is a necessary step for the Christian to be forgiven. And dear friend, this is what the Bible teaches about confession. Confess Christ in order to become a Christian, a part of the plan in becoming a Christian. And once a Christian, when you sin, confess your sin as openly and widely as that sin has been committed and has been known. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.